It's Sunday, the 8th of May, 2016. Happy birthday to Sasha Khan, Garrett Temple, and Kemba Walker. To the Red Rock Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Loot Crate and Gnome DZ. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like Gnome DZ and sponsor the podcast for an episode, it takes you a couple of minutes. All you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor of the show. So thank you to Gnome DZ and everyone who has done it. It helps the show out tremendously. If you are watching this show live on YouTube, first of all, if you do watch the show live on YouTube, or on YouTube at all, I apologize for yesterday. For some reason, my Google Hangouts are all over the place at the moment. I can't get my graphics up on the screen. But yesterday, the sound recording defaulted back to my inbuilt laptop mic instead of my external mic, which you see in front of me. And the sound sounded terrible. It sounded like I was talking through about five cardboard boxes. So I do apologize for the horrible, horrible audio quality of that. And that was if that was the first episode you watched, well, you're probably not watching again because it was absolutely dreadful. So I do apologize for that audio. It was fine on the podcast version, but the video was not good. If you are watching live on YouTube at the moment and you want to interact with the show, tweet at me at redrock_bball and you can interact with the show as we are going live to air. We've got games from Saturday to review, we've got games from Sunday to preview, we've got coaching madness in the NBA. So
let's get to it.
We're going to start where we always start, and that is the monstrous line of the night. And I'm going with Draymond Green tonight. It's not my choice. I'm going with Draymond Green because he scored the most DFS points. He had 61.8 points for the Warriors in what ended up being a failed attempt at the victory. They battled manfully, but the Blazers were just ridiculously hot. Green was fantastic. He had 37 points. He had 8 triples, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He went 13 of 23 from the field as well. And look, Lillard was really close to getting the monstrous line of the night, but when you consider that the Green hit the same amount of threes that Lillard did, he scored only 3 less points, had a steal and a block, the numbers are right there. It was 61.8 points to Green, 58 to Lillard. Both of those guys were tremendous. They were two guys who you almost definitely had to have into your lineup, and it was something we talked about on yesterday's show. But Draymond was the monstrous line of the night. He has been basically a must-play in DFS while Steph Curry was out. I talked about him yesterday. He is the guy that you needed to get in your lineup, and it would have worked out pretty nicely for you. He returned 6.5x value on his 9,600. His salary may continue to rise. When Steph drops down, when Steph returns, that's going to be the time to fade Draymond because he's going to be up around that $10,000 mark, and he's not going to be dropping 50s on the regular with Steph back, so that's the right time to get off him. But for now, you're almost guaranteed a 50 with Draymond in every game that he plays at this point. The best value DFS play of the day, Lillard was real close to this one as well, but in the end it goes to Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat. Wade played 36 minutes. The Heat got done in a disappointing loss for them. The Raptors head up to 2-1. I'm pretty happy about that because I'm pulling for the Raptors to win that. 38 points for Wade. He hit 4 triples. Yes, this is actually what's happening. He didn't hit a triple all of 2016, and now in the playoffs, all of a sudden, he can't miss. I think he'd hit 8 in a row up until he missed one today. 4 three-pointers for Wade, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 13 of 25 from the field. Hit all 8 of his free throws, but it wasn't enough for the Heat. But that is a tremendous performance from Wade. In the last time the Heat played, Wade was the DFS dud of the night. Today, he's the best value play. So he's definitely going up and down. That is a massive performance from Wade. He was always going to be better at home. I was expecting a big game. I wasn't expecting 38 points and 4 triples. That's just something you cannot expect from Dwayne Wade at all. I think he hit 9 for the season, 3-pointers. I think he's hit more than that throughout the playoffs. He even banked one in right at the end of the game, which he didn't mean, but when everything was going your way like it was for Wade, it fell. So a big night from Dwayne Wade. The DFS dud of the night, we're sticking with Wade's teammate, and it was Hassan Whiteside. You had to pay $8,200 to get Whiteside into the lineup, and he rewarded you with 6 points. Not his fault. He lasted only 8 minutes before succumbing to a knee injury, which looks pretty serious. We don't know at this point. He's going to have an MRI Sunday, and we'll get some more info there. He says it's twisted, it's sprained, whatever it is. He might get out there and play in game four. If he doesn't, the Heat have got no chance. If he's not able to play, they're going to be running out McRoberts and Haslam and Stoudemire. They've got no chance if Whiteside doesn't play. It's also, I was going to say it's going to be bad for him heading into free agency, but he is still going to get paid, even if this is a worst-case scenario, which I don't think it is, like not an ACL or something like that. But even if it was an ACL, he's still getting a very, very large contract, so I'm not sure that's too much of a concern. But yeah, not a good night for centers in that matchup, which we'll get to in just a little bit of time. And let's talk about the perfect DFS lineup from Saturday's games. At point guard, it was Lillard with 58 points, and Kyle Lowry finally got going. He had 36.4, easily his best game of the playoffs, 36.4 points for Lowry there. At shooting guard, it was CJ McCollum at 35, it was Dwayne Wade at 52.6, so some big nights for both those guys, and that was the spot where you needed to spend up. Obviously, point guard ended up being a spot to spend up too. Small forward, Damari Carroll put up 16.5, and Harry Barnes put up 17.7. So there's always a spot in these playoffs, and I say it ad nauseum, where you're going to have one or two spots of players who score under 20 points who fit into your lineup. Carroll was a guy that I did like. Barnes I wasn't so excited about, but they fit into that perfect lineup. Draymond at 61.8 is an obvious one. And El-Farouq Aminu, who was apparently not allowed to miss, he had 36 points at $5,600, which was a nice price there. And Andy Bogut went for 20.6. He was at 4,400. And again, that was the right thing to do, is go for a cheaper center with this sort of a slate. Before we get into the box scores in a little bit more detail, I want to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. Just as I was going to bed last night, I see the Twitter alert I have set up on my phone for Woj. And it comes up that Dave Yeager has been fired by the Grizzlies. And I was like, yeah, falling asleep and going, what is going on? Is this actually happening? I thought, this is amazing. And then 2 minutes later, Woj tweets out again that he's consistently been asking permission to seek vacancies at other teams. I thought, you know what? Fair enough. Now, there's a couple of things to mention about this. Dave Yeager, I think, is a really good coach. No doubt about that. It seemed ridiculous on the surface that he got fired by the Memphis Grizzlies. But it's like your missus saying to you, look, if you don't mind, I'm just going to go out, I'm just going to root a few blokes over the weekend just to see what's out there. Would you be happy with it? You'd be like, you know what, see you later, I've had enough. And that's exactly what the Grizzlies were thinking here. Fine, Dave, go out, root a few blokes, but you're not coming back here. There's no spot for you. And for you people who don't know what root means, it means have sex. There you go. That's some Australian vernacular there for you. But yeah, it seems stupid on the surface, but I think there's reason for it. But the fact that he was going and having to seek out other opportunities, the blame then gets placed back on the Grizzlies. Why was he doing that? Why was there so much angst between him and management and ownership and Chris Wallace and all those guys? Why was there angst between him and the playing group? When he first took over after Lionel Hollins got fired, we'd seen what Hollins had done with this team. They'd run slow. They were grit and grind. They were post-ups to big men. Yeager took over and said, all right, guys, this has worked. We're not doing it anymore. Let's run as fast as we can. Let's be up and down. Let's not do post-ups. And the team was not built for that. And it pissed off a lot of the players. You might not remember this. It was a few years ago. When he first took over, they were terrible, the Grizzlies, for the first 10 games or so, because he was trying to implement a system that wasn't working with his personnel. And that's not a good start to a career. Now, credit goes to Yeager, because he was able to change that. He was able to go, okay, what I want to do is not working, I've got to adapt. And he adapted, and the Grizzlies got hot and they started playing well again, and that's great. But he had a little bit of stubbornness associated with him earlier on. There's reports coming out now that the Gasol may not have been happy with Yeager as the coach, maybe for some of this reason, some of his tactical reasons, some of these stylistic reasons. Some of that stuff is starting to come out now. If you follow any Memphis Grizzlies people on Twitter, you'll see there's lots of arguments between Memphis Grizzlies people back and forward, and some of it getting a little bit aggressive, to be honest. But a real interesting dynamic there. The thing that is strange to me about Yeager, Izzy, there's obviously toxicity issues there, and the press release that Chris Wallace brought out saying it's not to do with player development or roster use or minutes or rotations or wins and losses. So it's not to do with coaching performance. It's to do with some sort of personality issue and clashing with ownership, who, let's be honest, is a little bit crazy in Robert Pera. Yet, Jaeger is now the front runner for the Kings job. Why? Why would you leave one sort of crazy situation to a legit insane organization? Look, how is that getting better? And yes, Jaeger didn't leave. He was fired, but he was trying to leave. And getting a job is better than not getting a job. But it doesn't look like it's going... If he had trouble dealing with the Grizzlies, then how's he going to go with Vivek and Vlade? Look, maybe Boogie Cousins loves him. That and they get along and then everything's fine. But you're going from a situation where you had real concerns with management and you didn't like the way it was run. You were trying to get out and now you're heading to Sacramento. Odd. Jaeger's not blameless. The Grizzlies aren't blameless. But when it first came out, I was just, shit, this is ridiculous. What is this team doing? And in essence, or in hindsight, they should have tried to make it work. They should have, you know, fixed the issues that caused his problem in the first place. But Jaeger has blame. He has that, you know, forcing incorrect systems on players. The front office headbutting. The I'm going to look at other jobs. You can't do anything about it style. It overall was not a good job. You hear some people in Memphis say this was writing was on the wall. Jaeger's gone. Vogel's the front runner in Memphis. There's jobs all opening. I think the biggest loser out of all these that's happened recently is the Phoenix Suns, who hired Earl Watson. And no problem with hiring first-time coaches, but the reasons they hired Earl Watson were dumb to me. You don't interview anybody else at all, and that was a concern. Now they're stuck with Earl Watson for 3 years, and Robert Sarver's not going to want to cut the cord on him too early to pay another coach out. That seems like a pretty dumb move to me to have not even interviewed anybody else. You know, you could say the same with Brooklyn. They hired a coach either. They missed out on a potential Vogel and Jaeger situation. But they hired Kenny Atkinson. They did their due diligence. They didn't hire someone just for the sake of it, which I feel is what the Suns did with Watson. Hey, you know what? You were here. PJ Tucker said you're a good bloke, so let's hire you for 3 years. And that's in essence what it came down, what it feels like it came down to in Phoenix. I want to hear your guys' take on the Dave Jaeger situation, either on Twitter or on Facebook. Leave some comments. But I can understand it from both sides. It was a messy situation, and this coaching situation is going to be real interesting. And if Kurt Rambis ends up with a job and Dave Jaeger and Frank Vogel don't at the end of this, well, then I don't even know what to think anymore. Today's show, as I mentioned earlier, is brought to you by Loot Crate. Now, Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month, and you get 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items and more. Each month, Loot Crate has a specific theme that they send their box out in. This month, we're talking power. So with the onslaught of big summer blockbusters coming, May is the perfect time to celebrate some of pop culture's unstoppable, unrelenting, and unbeatable characters and objects. There's something in there you can carry. There's an item for your kitchen in the box. There's a cool figure to go with the monthly t-shirt and the pin. There's 2 Marvel items, Warcraft stuff, Dragon Ball Z. All of this with a big power theme headed around Loot Crate. Now, if you're interested in that sort of stuff, you think, hey, you know what? That's cool. I like figures. I like kitchen items. I like t-shirts. Who doesn't like t-shirts? Don't Google Loot Crate. That's boring. That's not the right way to go. It won't even work. Loot Crate's not even on Google. Go to lootcrate.com/redrock. Red Rock. Not Redbock. Red Rock. Type that into your address bar, and that will tell the people at Loot Crate, the fine folks at Loot Crate, that you came directly from the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast. When you do that and you see the tremendous things that they've got over at Loot Crate and you decide to sign up for a subscription, you enter the coupon code REDROCK and you save $3 off any new subscription. I'm pretty sure it doesn't get any easier than that. The value for money is there. Each month, the value of the items in the Loot Crate box exceeds $40. So you're already saving money there. You don't have to do the legwork. You don't have to source this stuff. You don't pay postage on individual items. Loot Crate finds, this is the stuff that's good. We're sending it to you. Bang, done. $20 a month. Who couldn't be happier with that? I think it's fantastic. So go ahead to Loot Crate, lootcrate.com/redrock, and help support the podcast and get yourself something cool at the same time. All right, let's get into these games now and look at a bit more detail. We talked about the Raptors and the Heat. Big win for the Raptors. They basically held the lead for most of the game. They were helped when Hassan Whiteside went down, but then they lost their own big man, who was absolutely dominating yet again. Jonas Valanciunas played 22 minutes and went 16-12 with an assist and a steal. He had an ankle sprain. Now, thankfully, his injury doesn't look quite as severe as what Whiteside's did. Initially, they said that Valanciunas wasn't going to get an x-ray. They weren't worried, but then he did get one. Turned out it was negative, so that's all good. And there's a chance that he plays again in game four. So that's great for them because he was absolutely dominating. They'd given him, he'd had 12 shots in his 22 minutes, way more than he'd had in any of those other games. And legit, he looks like the best player on this team for big stretches. I was calling for a Valanciunas breakout about 2 seasons ago, so it's come, just 2 seasons too late. I really, really like him, and I think that he's going to be a tremendous player once they realize what they actually have in him, and it's starting to come to fruition now. The Raptors made a change to their starting lineup. They put Patrick Patterson in. They moved Normie Powell to the bench. Powell played just 4 minutes. He's been really, really marginalized in this series. Pat with his 36 minutes as a starter, he was just standard Pat. 9 points with 2 threes. An assist and a steal, nothing exciting there. Lowry went off though. He was 11 of 19, the first time shooting over 40% for these entire playoffs. 33 points, 5 threes, 2 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal, while DeRozan went 19, 6 and 5. He couldn't crack 40%. He went 6 of 17. Now, Terrence Ross was bad. Corey Joseph provides nothing fantasy stats-wise. Bismack Biyombo looked lost out there. He did not attempt a single field goal. 3 points, 5 rebounds, not much else. But he's going to be a great DFS option if Valanciunas has to miss game four. We also saw Luis Scola reanimated. He played 5 minutes and did nothing. Literally nothing. No stats whatsoever. Oh, sorry, that's not true. 2 missed field goals. Including one of those, both of those as threes. And Damari Carroll played 38 minutes and was 2 of 9 for 6, 5, and 3. And that's the line that gets you into the DFS perfect line of the night. So that's the way that just the DFS works in the playoffs. Onto the Heat. Wade was tremendous, as I mentioned already. Joshie McRoberts played 13 minutes for his first appearance in the series, 4 and 4 with 2 steals and a block in 13 minutes. And Udonis Haslem played 22 minutes, went 8, 7, and 2. If Haslam's playing 22 minutes, the Heat are not winning this series. Joe Johnson was poor, 10-6 and 2. Goran Dragic, only 29 minutes. Foul trouble really limited Dragic. He had a lot of early fouls. 12-3 and 1, not his best night. And Joshie Richardson had 1 point in 30 minutes. He's still important to have out there, Richardson, because of his defense. But yeah, offensively, he's been really challenged in these playoffs. Justice Winslow was a DNP CD in this game. They really, as I said, over the last week or so, they've just been marginalizing what he's been doing, cutting his minutes down basically every game, and now he's completely out of the rotation. They gave Gerald Green 21 minutes in his stead, and Green was all right, 8-4. He had 3 steals in that time frame and looked for a stage that he was going to be the guy to get the Heat the victory, but it wasn't to be. Luol Deng only scored 4, not his best night either. The second game, the Warriors and the Blazers, not much you can do when a team like the Blazers shoots 57% from three. The Warriors shot 48%, which is fantastic. But when a team shoots 57%, like, what are you going to do? You can't do much. Draymond did everything he could. Klay Thompson was great, 35 with 5 triples and a steal and a block as well. They were great, but you can't do much when the other team's just going crazy like that. Bogut only played 11 minutes. Foul trouble limited him. 6-8 with 3 blocks. Still super productive in that time. And Festus Ezeli, he only got 6 minutes. They went a lot smaller. Maurice Spates only played 4 minutes. Anderson Varejao didn't play at all, so we barely saw a center on the court for half the game. Harry Barnes, 7-6 in 33 minutes. He's just really struggling at the moment. And Sean Livingston also struggled to score, but did dish 10 assists, had 5 points and 3 rebounds in 25 minutes. Leandro Barbosa provided a spark off the bench. He had 10 and 5 in 18 minutes, but there's not much DFS value in thinking about a Barbosa or Ian Clark, who hit a couple of shots in this one, 6 points in his 17 minutes. Iguodala was also poor, missed all 5 of his shots for 1 point, 4 rebounds and 4 assists for Iggy too. Onto the Blazers. Lillard was great, 45 and 10, 8 triples, big night from Lillard, but Al-Farouq Aminu probably just as key, if not more, 23 and 10 for Aminu, 4 triples, 1 block, 8 of 9 from the field, he was 4 of 5 from 3, he was absolutely sensational. This is what he will do. He will also then score 10 points in the next game and go 0 for 5 on 3s. That is just what we've seen from Aminu all season. We've seen it in the playoffs as well. He's always prone to have a massive game, but then he'll drop off. He might come out in the next game and have 4 blocks, 4 steals, and 20 rebounds. He can do that sort of stuff. But offensively, this was one out of the box. Eddie Davis played a lot, and there's a lot of hints from Terry Stotts that Davis will continue to play more minutes. 30 minutes here, 8 and 10, a steal and 2 blocks. That's a huge performance from Davis. He always looks awkward around the basket, though. Defensively, he's decent in terms of his rebounds and shot blocking, and he's always a threat to block shots. But he looks so awkward when he gets thrown the ball down low. I don't know what it is. McCollum, 22, 5 and 4. Yeah, that's a decent night. Nothing too spectacular. Alan Crabb went 10 and 3 with a couple of triples. Mo Harkless started. He was dealing with an injury. Only played 7 minutes. But they also wanted to get Crabb out there more. They wanted to get more Henderson out there. And they obviously wanted to get some more Ed Davis out there. So that limited what Harkless could do. And Mason Plumlee, only the 17 minutes, going 5, 7 and 2. He did play down the stretch, though, Plumlee, but it's interesting if they continue to run Davis over him. I would be looking at Plumlee more than Davis, but I guess it depends on what they're looking for. Facilitation and some more rebounding numbers from Plumlee, or the defense and shot blocking that Davis brings. I can understand using Davis there, but they've barely given him minutes throughout the series, and then this one close to 30. We'll see what that happens as we move forward into the next game, which is game 4. Which we might have Steph Curry back for. Well, that remains to be seen, obviously. Let's transition now into the games for Sunday. We have the first one of those, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Atlanta Hawks. The Cavs are favored by 5. The total is 203.5. The Cavs looking to close out this series. Jeff Teague will not be suspended for that push on LeBron. And Thabo Sefolosha is dealing with a cut on his elbow. He'll be right to go. At point guard, we're looking at the value here. Jeff Teague at 6,500, he had 40 points in Game 3. I don't think he has 40 points again, but at 6,500, he seems to be one of the better point guard options that is on the board at that value. While Kyrie at 7,900, he's just going to give you that 35-point performance. His lowest score across his last 5 games has been 30. He's averaging 34 in this series, but he's got the opportunity to go for 40, go for 50. He's got a big game coming. He's been solidly good, but he's got a massive game that's coming soon. Could be this one. Dennis Schroeder at 3,800. Only played 12 minutes in game 3. That is the concern. No chance for him in cash in a tournament. You consider it, but picking when Schroeder's going to have a big game is pretty tough. Dellavedova, he's just not getting enough minutes to be a factor. At shooting guard, this is another one of those days where you go real cheap at shooting guard. J.R. Smith at 5,100 struggled in game 3, but he'd been really good during the playoffs. At 5,100, I do like him for cash, and I do like him for tournaments. Kyle Korver, if he's going to be in a bench role, look, he was terrible in the first 2 games. He dropped 23 points in Game 3 off the bench, but I don't imagine off the bench he's going to be able to do that again. At 3,900, he is worth speculating on. He is worth considering, but I'm not massively keen on it. Shumpert, Hardaway, none of these guys are going to have much of an impact. You're looking at more guys in the next game, the Spurs-Thunder game for that other shooting guard spot. Small forward Kent Bazemore has been atrocious in this series, averaging just 18 points, had only 11 in the last game, but he's going to get minutes. He's going to get 30 minutes. He's at 4,900. The salary's dropped by $500, so that's important. And I think that he is worth considering if you're going cheap at small forward. Now, small forward's probably not the spot to go cheap at. You've got a lot of expensive options. That's where you want to go expensive. You go cheap at shooting guard. But if you are going small, if you are going cheap at small forward, Bazemore's the one to go. LeBron at 10,800, he's averaging 50 in this series. You think that it's going to be another 50 here. The salary has risen to 10,800, but I think that putting him in is a pretty wise choice at small forward. Thabo played 29 minutes in Game 3. He had 18 points. He's at 3,600. Honestly, not a bad guy to look at in a tournament if you're going cheap at small forward. He gets 20 points at 3,600. It really helps to set up the rest of your lineup, but it really depends on how else you're structuring things. At power forward, we've got Paul Millsap at 8,500. He's been good. He's averaged 38 points in this series. That's not fantastic, but it's okay. You've got Kevin Love at 7,800, who's averaging 35 points in the series. I would prefer to take Love over Millsap. Neither guy are awesome options, but you can easily work them into lineups. Millsap, if he's going to have a big game, it has to be this one. So he's a chance there at 8,500, but it depends on how you've spent your money. Channing Frye at 4,100, 20-plus minutes in the last two games. It was a tremendous 35-point FanDuel performance in Game 3. I don't imagine that happens again, but at 4,100, almost have to consider him in your lineups, whether you pair him with Love, and that combination of him and Love offensively has been ridiculously. It's been so hard to stop that I can see that Tyronn Lue is going to run it out a little bit more. So 4,100 for Frye, he gets you 22 points, which he's averaging 23 in this series anyway. I think that he's a big chance to have a big night. And Chrissy Humphries is another one you can go cheap on. He's at 3,800. He's had 15-plus minutes in the last two games. He's averaging 20 points across his last three contests. Had another 20 in game three. You could go cheap here and put either Frye or Humphries in, and then pair him with Love or Millsap, or we get to the other game, Aldridge and Ibaka. There is an option to go that way. At center, I think cheap at center is the way to go in this lineup or in this slate in general. So Tristan Thompson at 4,800 is intriguing, but with the way they're using Channing Frye, I'm not a massive fan of Thompson. He had just 22 points in 28 minutes in the last game. He's averaging under 30 for the series at just 23 points as well. 4,800, it doesn't mean he's a terrible play there, but I think you will see the next game there's guys I'd prefer. 7,100 for Al Horford, that's not where I really want to spend my money, is 7,100 on Horford here. Yes, he had 37 points in Game 3, but I'm not really all that confident in getting him out there and using him when I can spend the money in other spots. The next game is the San Antonio Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Spurs lead the series 2-1, and they are favored by 1 point here. The total for this game is 198.5 points. Let's look at the point guards. Russ Westbrook had 51 in the last game. He is the most expensive player on the board at 11,000. I don't love it at 11,000. I get the feeling that Westbrook, given the way that he spoke and given the criticisms that's come of him, his shooting numbers are going to be down. And that doesn't necessarily translate into big games for DFS. So I'm not a massive fan of spending 11,000 on Russ. Tone Parker, on the other hand, at 5,000, he was great. He had 35. He's averaging 26 in this series. And at 5,000, absolutely fine with using Tone Parker. He's going to get his 27 minutes. Patty Mills has been ineffective. Parker is going to get some numbers. Mills, Payne, they're not playing enough to really have much of an impact. At shooting guard, Dan Green is at 4,200. He's averaging 23.5 across this series, which at 4,200 is exactly what you need. I like him for both cash and tournaments. While Manu Ginobili at 37, he's averaging 17 across the series, which is not bad at 3,700, but don't have as much faith in him. If I'm going punting, it's Dion Waiters. Minimum salary, he looked really good on defense in Game 3. He should be getting the most minutes out of their shooting guard. That's not true, because Andre Robertson's doing a lot defensively. But Waiters is going to have a game at some point. We don't know when it will be, and that's why I can't rely upon him for cash. But in a tournament, to go a little bit different, if throw him in at minimum, maybe he gets you 23 or 24 points. Robertson had 16 points, actually, in Game 3. I do not trust that at all. You can leave him alone. Anthony Morrow, no. Randy Foy and Kevin Martin have been eliminated from their respective rotations. At small forward, here we've got a couple of big price guys. 9,900 for Kevin Durant, so he's under 10,000, but I just don't love it. He's averaging just 36 in the series. This is not... I'm spending it on 9,400 on Kawhi. I'm spending my 10,800 on LeBron. That's the way I want to go. Kawhi is averaging more than Durant. He's had a higher top score than Durant. He had 50 points in Game 3. He's at 9,400. I take and Kawhi doesn't have to have Kawhi guard him. I would be taking Kawhi over Durant here, no doubt. Kyle Anderson, no. Power forward Serge Ibaka is a really low-priced option at 5,600. He hasn't been great, but he's averaging 24 across the series, and that's okay. I could consider using him, but I would probably rather take a flyer on a Channing Frye or a Chris Humphries rather than go middle of the road there with Serge. LaMarcus Aldridge, I think the Thunder are going to continue to allow him to get shots, or he's just going to get them regardless if they allow him or not. He's at 8,900. He was a little bit down in Game 3, but he's still averaging 48 across the series. Fine with using him. I think he's a better option than, say, using a Paul Millsap, in my opinion. Dave West. Maybe Dave West at 3,900. He's getting some decent minutes. He's playing over Tim Duncan down the stretch. He's a tournament punt option. At center, Big Steve Adams is definitely the guy that I'm considering here. He's at 4,900. He's playing a lot of minutes. He's averaging 25 fantasy points throughout the series. I really like using him as that cheap center option. I could consider Cantor, but he's not getting enough minutes. He's at 4,700. He's only averaging 19 minutes across the series, and that's translating into 17 fantasy points, which is all right, but it's not great. I would rather take Adams, given how much they're relying upon him and how many boards he's able to get. And if he gets a couple of blocks, gets a couple of putbacks, I think we're in for a pretty big Steve Adams night. Timmy Duncan at 4,600. No interest there whatsoever from me. All right, we are done for today's show, guys. If you like what you see, hit that thumbs up button on YouTube. Subscribe on iTunes and YouTube to make sure you never miss an episode, and leave a review on iTunes. Tell others what you think. Share it on your social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, you email, news, groups, forums, whatever. Tell everyone about the show. It helps the show grow. It helps me bring a better product to all you guys. Follow me on Twitter at @redrock_bball. You can check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/redrockbasketball. I reckon we're very close to done here. Oh yeah, hardwoodparoxysm.com. You find this podcast here as well as the other podcasts in the Hardwood Paroxysm Network. And of course, Basketball Monster for all of your DFS projections and season-long projections when all that kicks off yet again. Make sure you are staying subscribed to this podcast, because all the announcements about the leagues, season review podcasts, draft previews, all that stuff will be coming up in the coming weeks. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.